Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We're in the second pasuk. We're speaking about learning how to be a good recipient of other people's kindness. It's one of the keys to build a secure and solid relationship. Knowing how to be a good recipient is actually one of the most, if not the most important area in life, believe it or not. Knowing how to receive kindness from someone is perhaps the number one most important characteristic. It not only applies in relationships like a marriage or every other relationship, but in the most critical relationship of the Creator, the way Hashem designed the world is that He would give us and give us and give us. And the more we know how to receive, and the better we know how to receive His blessing, that's how much we're going to be able to do for Him. That's the way He set it up. And in that system, we'll become truly complete great people. If a person lives in this world and doesn't feel the kindness that the Creator does for him, so he's lacking the number one foundation of what it means to be a servant of Hashem. So in truth, knowing how to receive the good is from the most, if not the most important characteristic. The Chazal tell us, and the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, a great rabbi asked his students, famous Mishnah, he asked them, Tse'u ur'u. He told them, go out and think and see. Ezohi derech yeshara. He calls it, what is the road that is straight? Sheid Bagba Ha'adam, a straight road to success without any kind of hiccups. What is the road that you should get on it and cling to it? Sheid Bagba Ha'adam. He wanted his students to think for themselves. It's a very good idea when you teach people, whether you're teaching your children or you're teaching a student, or you're teaching anyone, ask a question, let them think of the answer first. When you give an answer, it doesn't reach the recipient in the same way as when they think about it. And then, if they get to it themselves, beautiful, they feel good. And even if they don't get to it themselves, when you give it to them after they thought about it, they'll understand a lot better what you are telling them. So it's an excellent system of teaching others. We find ourselves teaching in life in many situations. Always good to have people think for themselves. Obviously, it's a big yetzer hara. We'd much rather not have them think for themselves, because we like to show how we know everything. You know, a rabbi that sits to teach, and every time somebody asks a question, they have an answer right away with all the sources. Sounds. People walk out of that class and say, wow, what a gaon. What a genius. Any question we ask, right away, he knows the answer. If the rabbi would be there and someone would ask the question, he'd say, wow, it's a great question. I don't know. What's the answer? Do you think of an answer? People walk out and say, I don't know if this rabbi is worth learning ish. He's a nice guy, but there's a nohush. Every time we ask him a question, he asks us back, what do we think? We need a rabbi who knows what he's talking about. You understand what's going on here? It's much more impressive from the giver to have all the answers. Not to have any kind of doubts. So to ask somebody about what they think seems like we're belittling ourselves. I will have a lot more respect on the other side when they see how knowledgeable and wise I am. That's one of the roadblocks of having people think for themselves. Because in order for them to think for themselves, you have to be able to act the part that you don't know what the answer is. And you need to have them work on it. You know, when a person knows you know the answer and they are trying to get to the answer, it's very hard for them to reach it. Because it's like reaching a destination that's already there and they don't think there's really, they're trying to figure out what you're thinking. Instead of trying to figure out what the answer is, they're trying to know what's in your brain. It's very hard to reach what's in your brain. So when you make it like you know the answer, and their job is to figure out what you know, it's like finding a shidduch from a thousand people to find one person. But when you don't give off that feeling, when you give off the feeling that the answer is still in process, we got to figure it out. So all of a sudden the world opens up to them. Now they could think not just about what you thought, they could think for themselves of what could be. All of a sudden their mind is able to look wider and their energy goes deeper because the answer needs to be figured out. So in order to get the most out of people that you're teaching, you need to have them try to think for themselves as best as could be, which is sometimes a humbling experience. You're not going to come out of the shiur. You're not going to come out of the conversation where your son says, my dad's a genius. He knows the answer to everything. There's a yetzarat to know the answer to everything. That's why people like to answer questions right away. If you ever see, you ask a question, people raise their hand and know the question. What's the rush to answer a question right away? Why do you have to answer so quickly? Answer is because we all like to feel and look like we know everything. Even though we know deep inside that we are ignorant in many matters, but we like to give off this feeling of I know it all, especially a father to his son. You know, a kid grows up, he thinks his father knows everything. And it should be that way. It should be that way. But sometimes it corrupts the father's mind to think he actually knows everything. A kid comes home one day with a question, and since the father has to know everything, he just makes things up. With absolute confidence. Scout. Kid comes home, says, Dad, what do you think about this? Before he finishes the question, he's already talking. He's giving him all the answers.
It gets to your mind that you're in this relationship since they think you know everything, you gotta show that. It's a very big mistake that we make. It's a yesara that we had, both in teaching, both in learning. People are jumping to answer questions. They wanna get it first. There is a certain humility that's needed for a person to be able to teach others and to learn. This is what you see in this Mishnah. The great rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, great man, he knows what derech. And he doesn't ask them, could you think of what I'm thinking? That's not the question he asked them. He asked them as if it's a question by everyone, including himself. As Tse'u Wur'u. Do me a favor, he says. Go out. I need to know this. Ezohi derech yeshara. What is the most yashar, the most direct, the most straight road in order that you should be successful in life? I want you to think about it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer comes Rabbi Eliezer and says,
he says, this is, I assume, I am sure that this answer did not happen the minute after he asked them. I am sure, even though we read it in the Mishnah, don't make a mistake. In fact, the question already hints to that. He told them, Se'u.
Se'u or u.
Go out and look. Why does he say that? Se'u or u. But he's trying to teach them, as part of the lesson, is don't answer right away. When you answer right away, you're not showing that you're wise. When you answer right, it seems that way. If we answer right away, it seems that you have wisdom. But wise people know that when you answer right away, it shows you're not so wise. Exactly opposite. So he tells them, Se'u, go out, ur'u, go out and see. Go think about it. Go work it out and come back. People who answer quickly are usually not dependable people. I one time met somebody, we're going back 30 years, and met somebody who was the head, must have told you this story. He was the head of hiring in Verizon. Big company, they hire a lot of people every year. He was the head guy. What do they call that? Human resource. He was the head. So, in my conversation, I asked him, I was intrigued. I said, you see thousands and thousands of people that want to work. I said, how do you know by meeting somebody that he is fit for a very important position? The lower positions, it didn't bother. If you're giving a guy a really important job, I said, how do you know? You just met the guy. You're looking at the resume, you read, okay, but how much do you really know about somebody? And you have to remember, when they interview people, it's not like us. You interview a guy, you know his father, you know his mother, you know his rabbi, you know where he went to school. You're talking, the whole world is open. You have no idea who this guy is. I said, how would you know he's reliable for an important position? So he says, it's a very interesting thing. He told me that if I see the guy is primed for something really important in the company, he says, I ask him a question that I know for a fact he never thought about in his life. Like, after I speak to him, I get to who the guy is. I'll ask him, like, what do you think of the wars going on in Uganda right now? What's your feelings about that? I'll ask him a question that I know he knows nothing about. He says, if he starts answering right away, he's out. He said, I don't know the answer myself. But if he answers right away, I know this guy is not for us, not reliable. He says, if he takes his time or he says, I don't know, he says, that's the guy. That's someone you can give a position of values. That's not from the Rabbi Hardikai, from a Verizon head of hiring. Anyway, such chokhmah you get just from the question. A man who makes believe he doesn't know the answer, he tells them, Se'u, go out of here. Re'u, go think for yourself. Process. What do you think? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ayin Tova. Rabbi Eliezer says, a good eye. We're not going to go through each one. Now, that's not going to be the right answer, by the way. But notice, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yoshua Omer B'Haver Tom. Notice that the rabbi didn't stop him and tell him, oh, wrong. He didn't do that. He's like, okay, I hear what you're saying. Ayin tova. I hear that. Yeah, good eye. It's very important. I hear you. Now the He's thinking that he's in the right place. They're talking about it. The other boys are also. So as
Rabbi didn't knock him down. Next one, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Haver Tov.
He lets them talk. Right or wrong, they're thinking. If he would tell him he's wrong, it would stop him to think. If he tells him he's right, it would stop them to think. So don't say anything. Don't be so smart. Just let them talk. Let them hear each other talk. Let them think and decide for themselves what they're listening to. This is so critical. You have no idea. This could happen not only for a rabbi in his classroom, but for a father on the Shabbat table with his children. It's when you're trying to solve an issue with your son or daughter. It's a great system of letting them think a little. In the end, you can give them whatever you have to give them, but let them be part of the process. It makes them smarter. It makes them more understanding, and it makes them more accepting. Don't rush to look smart. It's a very big yetzer hara. Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yoshua says, Haver Tov, a good friend. The rabbi doesn't say anything. Next, I'm sure he discussed it with them. Here you're getting the short preview. I'm sure every time they said something, he asked them, why do you think that? Explain yourself. I'm sure he argued with them. I'm sure he added to them. Next one, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Shachem Tov. A good neighbor, to be a good neighbor, to have a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Comes Rabbi Shimon and says, you know what the greatest thing in life is? The greatest, Yashar Derech, Haro'eh Tanolad. A person who sees ahead. A person who knows the consequences of his actions. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Last rabbi comes, last student. He tells him, Lev Tov, a good heart, which needs a lot of explanation. It's not for today. He doesn't mean a heart that's crumping. It means something else. But we're not discussing that now. So now he goes through all five. Each one, he gives him his space. Each one hears the other one, what they had to say. And each one is delving into each one. Amar Lahem, after the whole discussion, he says, Amar Lahem Ro'eh Ani. If you ask me what I saw, I did the same thing as you. When I told you, Se'u Re'u, I did the same thing also. So Ro'eh Ani, I see the rabbi, the last one, Lev Tov, and he explains to them because Lev Tov has everything else. Okay. Nice, beautiful. Lev Tov is the winner. Not that they were wrong, but they had something that could include everything they said. Lev Tov includes it all. Nice. It's not what I came to learn you today. He continues, Amar lahem se'ur u. He says to them, okay, now I want you to go out and look. Ezohi derech ra'ah sheyitrahek mimena ha'adam. What is the way, the bad way, that a person should keep far away from it? Same story. Comes Rabbi Eliezer. He goes first. Omer, ayin ra'ah. It's a bad eye. He's the one that says ayin tova. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Havera, the one who said a good friend. So, well, the worst thing is to have a bad friend. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Shachenra. The one who said the best thing is to have a good neighbor says to have a bad neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, I'm going to skip that for a second. The fourth one, I'm going to skip it. The fifth one is Rabbi Elazar, the winner of the first one, says Levra. A good heart, a bad heart. And of course, who's the winner? Says their rabbi, Ro'eh Ani, The last one, Lev Ra, is the worst. This conversation is very hard to understand. I mean, if your rabbi gives you the answer before the test and you get it wrong again, that's shame on you. You can't blame them when they first gave their answers. But after the rabbi told them what the answer is, or what at least he thought the answer is, why would they go back again and give the wrong answer? Why would Rabbi Eliezer go back to the eye if he knows it's all by the heart? Why is Rabbi Yoshua going back to Haver? Again, they were not wrong in their answers. Remember, he never told them you're wrong. He just told them, included in what you're saying, the Lev has it all. So if the Lev has it all, why are they getting all the wrong answers again? This Mishnah is very hard to understand. He just gave them the answer. He told them, it's not this, it's not this, that's actually all of them. And I found something that includes them all. The Lev Tov includes everything. Great. So now let me ask you, what's the worst thing? They should all have gotten the answer right this time. But again, they gave the quote-unquote wrong answer. I once saw something very, very beautiful about this. Such a beautiful idea. It's also for every father and mother and teacher and rabbi. Just because you gave someone the answer, it doesn't mean that they internalized it. It doesn't mean that it became a part of their thoughts. They heard your answer. And maybe they even understood your answer. But it's still not their answer. It's still not what they feel. Just because you tell someone, just because you told your son something, and he hears you, it doesn't mean it became his. And one of the great values of life is that correct, proper, wise ideas need to become yours. Being a parrot and repeating somebody else's ideas, even if they're Moshe Rabbeinu's ideas, is just not where it's supposed to be. We're supposed to learn from others, but at some point, it's got to become ours. We have to feel that way. So your rabbi taught you, it doesn't mean you walked out thinking that way. It just means you heard what he had to say. Every father, every great father, every great rabbi, every great teacher understands this point, that even though you taught your son or daughter something, and even if they heard you and understood you, and maybe even agreed to you, even with all that, it doesn't mean that they now are thinking this way. And if you don't know this, you might get very, very shocked. Because sometimes you have a conversation with your son, you think it's all put to bed, took care of it, he heard you, he understood you, he agreed with you, done. And only a few days later, you see he's acting differently. And you say, this kid is so rotten. Rotten man. We spoke, he agreed to me, I explained to him. What a disrespectful young man. And it's usually not true. Not disrespectful. Not rotten. He didn't yet make it his. And you made a mistake thinking that just because he heard you and understood you, that it became his thoughts. It takes a little more time before good ideas become ours. And good ideas don't really make a difference in our lives until they become ours. We have to make them ours. We can never live successfully parroting, being a parrot of somebody else's ideas. We must learn from others, but it's gotta eventually become ours. Until it becomes ours, We don't really act on it. So both the student has to know that and the teacher has to know that. Just because you went to a class, you heard a shiur, and you loved it, and you were inspired from it, and you got it, it doesn't mean you got it. It doesn't mean it's yours. You walk out the next day, you'll do the same thing you were doing your whole life. And you might even question yourself, I don't understand what happened. What happened is you didn't yet acquire it for yourself. It takes a little more time. Don't be so rushing to think that you got it. See, here's this great rabbi. What a great lesson in Hinuch. What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai do? He says to them, Se'u u'r'u. I want you to go out. Notice that word out.
Funny.
Out means out of this Beit Midrash. Out means out of my head. Se'u u'r'u. Go look again. For the bad way. But again, I want you to think for yourself. I don't want you to go out and get the answer that I told you. I want you to go and think for yourself one more time. Forget what I said. And see what you come up with. And indeed, when they came back, each one realized that they were still convinced, even after their rabbi told them the right answer. So of course, on the test, they could write the answer that he told them. But that's not what he wanted from them. He wanted from them what they thought. And when they went out to look again, they realized they were still convinced of their original answer. And they came back and said, well, Rabbi, the truth is what we think. We didn't get there yet. We're still not, I have it. It's okay. It's okay, we need to work it. But you need to first recognize it. He wants them to recognize that despite what he taught them, it's still not theirs. That was the lesson. That even though I'm your rabbi and I know you trust me and I know you hear heard me, but I just want you to see that despite all that, it's still not yours. You need more work for that. And he showed them that in a real way. He asked them for their own thoughts about exactly the same subject in the other way. And they came back with their original thoughts. That was a tremendous, powerful lesson for them. It's going to take you a little more time to acquire the thoughts to be yours. And again, he went through the story and told them, the last one is the right one. The levra is the worst. Now the truth is, I didn't come to teach you this Mishnah, and not even what I just went through. The most important point of today was the part I skipped. So now, the fourth one. So notice, each one said the opposite when it came to good and the bad, which makes sense. The fourth is Rabbi Shimon. When it came to the Derech Yeshara, the straight path, his answer was, the one who sees the nolad, the one who sees consequences, the one who sees ahead. You raise your children today this way, you have to be able to see the consequences. Most people, they don't see the consequences. Not because they don't have the ability, because they just don't desire or they don't know if it's even possible. They're living the moment and they don't realize the consequences of their actions. You raise your children a certain way, there are consequences. Like it or not, there are consequences. Whether you meant it, you didn't mean it, it doesn't make a difference. In life, Hashem created a world where there are consequences to our actions. And usually the most important consequences are the ones that are long-term. The ones that you see the consequences right away, those are not that important. The most important things in life are the ones that take time to develop, either for the good or for the bad. So says Rabbi Shimon, you want to be successful in life? Always see ahead. If you always see ahead, you'll make good decisions. Very nice. On the negative, what was the opposite of that? So, if you ask me what the opposite of that, I would say someone who only sees the decision in front of them. Simple. One guy sees consequences. One guy only sees the moment. It's the big question of life. Do you see the moment or do you see ahead? That really decides most of the important things in life. Those who only see the moment can become drug addicts, can become alcoholics, can become gamblers, can become abusers, can become every negative thing in life that you ever heard about came from people who only saw the moment. So very simple. But yet, in this Mishnah, when he's asked to give the answer on the negative, he says, you know what the worst derech is in life? Halove ve'eno meshalin. Someone who borrows and doesn't pay back. Which is not a good thing, obviously. You borrow from someone, he gave you money, and you don't pay him back. It's a terrible thing. But what does that have to do with seeing ahead or not seeing ahead? Seemingly, this answer is off the system of the other four. Seemingly, he came back with a whole different idea that has nothing to do with what he said earlier. But the great Rosh Yeshiva, Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Alav HaShalom, says something very, very beautiful and very relevant. He says that Rabbi Shimon was trying to teach us something about Hakarat HaTov, about showing appreciation to those who you owe for their kindness. Now, a person who's lacking Hakarat HaTov, a person who lacks appreciation to his parents, to his spouse, to his rabbis, to his friends, such a person is clearly in the world of spirituality, he is a sick person. If it would be in the physical sense, we would have to call Hatzalah to take him quickly to the emergency room. A person lacking appreciation is from the most sick of the spiritual sicknesses they are. We all know that. Every important relation in life must be based and must have the foundation of Hakarat HaTov. Hashem with us, our parents with us with our children, students today. I mean, Hakarat HaTov is key. We all know the spiritual sickness called a person who's ungrateful. We know where those relationships he's in will go. We understand it. Someone who's not grateful can't be a good child to his parents, can't learn from his parents, he can't be a good student, he can't be a good friend, he can't be a good husband, he can't be a good enemy. We understand it. But Rabbi Shimon, when he came to give you the opposite, he wanted to teach you something. He wanted to tell you that there's something about a person who's lacking in Hakarat HaTov that maybe you didn't think about. And that's besides that he is not well. Besides that he's doing the wrong thing. He obviously doesn't see ahead. Someone who practices a life that lacks appreciation obviously doesn't see ahead. Because besides the wrong attitude, but if he would see ahead, he would see how much destruction he's causing with this attitude. Sometimes a person does the wrong thing, but not necessarily is he going to see the destruction in his life. Maybe he has to wait to Olam Haba. A person does something wrong. A person eats not kosher. Not necessarily he's going to see the destruction right now. He might have to wait a very long time. And even then, he may not even put it together. But when it comes to lacking gratitude, every person is capable of seeing destruction if they just saw ahead. Which means if you could see ahead, you will solve your hakarat hatov sickness. You know, when people go to a doctor, they usually don't go when they feel good. Even though they tell them, you know, you should go for checkup, you good to see you. Usually people at the doctor, whether it's a dentist, whether it's a heart, whatever it is, they're there because something is bothering them. If something wasn't bothering them, they wouldn't go for years. Because pain has a way of making us energized to do things that we wouldn't do otherwise. So being grateful is a tremendous quality, but it takes a lot of work to become a grateful person. To practice gratitude takes a lot of work. It's not natural. So usually we leave it on the back burner. But if we would see ahead, and we would see the tremendous destruction in our lives. Just take marriage alone. If you don't practice gratitude appropriately, which unfortunately we don't many times. If you see ahead what would happen to your marriage and the fire is going to be burning in that relationship, that will give you strength to pick up on this important value. So he's telling you, if you don't repay those who do you favors, if you're a guy who borrows money and cannot pay somebody, it means you don't have gratitude. It's obvious you don't see ahead. Because such a person is going to be in destruction zone in every important zone of his life. It's going to catch up with him in every area. It's coming up soon, not like in 50 years. It's coming up down the pipe. Yeah. Rabbi Shimon is teaching us such a powerful lesson that to solve the sickness of Hakarat HaTov, you don't have to be desiring of Shlemut. To become a great person, so I have to have a Hakarat HaTov. You don't need that. There's something else that can push you. The pain and destruction will push you along to make sure you go to the doctor. You go to the spiritual doctor to solve it. In other areas, maybe you need some inner energy to solve. My Shabbat has to be better. My Kashrut has to be right. My Tzniut has to be right. My this has to be right. You may need your own internal energy to do the right thing. But when it comes to gratitude, even without that, you just have to see ahead. And if you see ahead the destruction, automatically you're going to be able to do things and do it now. You have to get this solved. Appreciation or lack of is the key to successful marriages and successful relationships. Yeah. Isaac, that's a great question. Great question. Isaac is asking, so why did Rabbi Shimon use the example of someone who borrows and doesn't pay back? That's just one example of a person who doesn't show appreciation. Guy lends you money. He went out of his way. He didn't have to. And you don't pay him back. So obviously, you got a sickness in this area. But that's just one example. Why do you have to give an example? Just say it. Rabbi Shimon should say, someone lacking gratitude. And then that can apply to every relationship. Why would Rabbi Shimon, when he comes to talk about gratitude and its terrible results, why would he choose to give one example of a guy who borrows and doesn't pay back? That's just one of thousands of ways a person could show a lack of hakarat hatov. That's a beautiful question. Powerful question.
You accept.
Is a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin that says that a en ishto shel adam meta. What's it this? If someone's wife dies, lo aleinu ve lo alechem, I don't know if it means actual death. There are many different types of death. But if a wife is really suffering, like someone who's dead, meaning the relationship is dead, meaning the marriage is not giving what the original beracha of the Sheva Berachot was blessing them with. Sameach, tesamach, bre'im, ahumin, asher bara, sason v'simcha, hatan v'kala. That's a marriage that's alive. But a marriage lacking sason and simcha is a marriage that's dead. Anyone who's been in such a marriage or seeing such a marriage, or has had moments of such a marriage, knows exactly that the word dead is very appropriate. Says the Gemara, En ishto shel adam meta, ela im mevakshim mamon mimenu. It's only if a person is being asked of money, ve'enlo, and he doesn't have. When you read this game like that, makes no sense. Again, we're talking about a guy who someone asked him for money, and he says, I don't have. Says the game, oh, that guy, his wife is on his way, her way to Mita in this marriage. Hazit, the guy has no money. What's the problem? Someone asks you for money, you say, I don't have. But that's why it should cause such destruction to my marriage. Who are we talking about over here? Who's asking me for money? You know what that means? The Gemara means that you borrowed money from someone. Why are you asking for money? You borrowed money from someone. You owe them. They come to you and you say, I don't have. I've seen people scream louder because they don't have more than the guy who says, you owe me. The guy Hadith is humble. You owe me some money. Can you please pay me? I don't have. Like it's his fault. The in-law. In-law is a guy who either has and doesn't want to pay, and even if he doesn't have, but he says, I don't have. Like, what are you asking me for? Such a person who doesn't feel gratitude. Such a person who doesn't pay back or doesn't care to pay back, at least if he came back. Say, I'm sorry. Don't say, I don't have. Say, I'm sorry. What can I do? Can I work for you? Can I give you something? Can I serve you? Can I drive you? I don't know. Don't say I don't have. If you are such a person that when people who did you a favor and now you say, I don't have, says the Gemara, that's the reason why your marriage is dead. What? What's the connection between not paying back my loan to a dead marriage? What's a shaykhut? Why can't I have a great marriage and I don't pay loans back? The Gemara is telling you, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Gemara is telling you that gratitude is not an on and off button that you can put it on wherever you want. You can't say, well, to my wife, I have gratitude. So in this department, I'm very good. Okay, that guy lent me money. I'm not so good in that area. Hakarat HaTov is not that kind. You can't put it in certain departments and turn it on and off when you like. It's a one size fits all. The connection between the guy who lent you money and your wife, zero connection. But says the Mishnah, you want to know who you are? If you don't have Hakarat HaTov, the guy who lent you money, it's going to destroy your home. And you won't be able to say, no, over here is different. And that might answer Isaac's question. Why did Rabbi Shimon specifically say a guy who borrows and doesn't pay back? Because that guy in his mind thinks I'm okay in Hakarat HaTov. I just have one exception. People don't like to pay back money. So they find excuses. I don't have. Maybe they have, but I need it. I got to pay my mortgage. I have, but I gotta go on vacation. Or what can I do? I don't have. Sometimes they have, but they just don't have to pay. Not every time a guy says, I don't have, it doesn't have. When it comes to money, it's much harder, especially when you're struggling to show your Hakarat HaTov. Says Rabbi Shimon, I know you might think that you're a very grateful person, but only in this area you have some struggles. Because you're struggling, because it's hard for you, because the pressures. But really, I'm a grateful person. Says Rabbi Shimon, no, you are a person who doesn't have gratitude. You're lacking Hakarat HaTov, and it's going to be with you not only in your business, it's going to be with you in your home. What a beautiful idea. It's not so beautiful, the consequence, but the idea is beautiful. El ishto shel adam meta. A dead marriage. Where does that come from? Says the Gemara with such confidence. A dead marriage. The guy who borrows and says, I don't have. What? What are you talking about? Is there a mistake? But that's why you need wise people. You need wise people to open your mind to things you didn't know about. When you're not grateful in one relationship, then it's going to be the theme of every relationship. It's going to catch up with you. Don't think you could play local in the world of Hakarat HaTov. It's either who you are or it's not. And you got to work on it in all areas. You have to appreciate your father and your mother, and you have to appreciate your rabbi and your employer, and. All the same story. They're all in the same box. And that's why the Bishamon says, you know, was the example of that? He gave one example, a money example, that may not feel like it. You know, people, when they borrow money and don't pay, they think it's a local problem. Okay, it's my business. Okay, it's one guy in my business. It doesn't really affect my life. They park it somewhere in the basement of the garage.
Or justify
it. It's parked. It's away. It's not a great thing, but it's okay. Rabbi Shimon says, wake up. You don't fix that, you don't fix all issues. Tremendous.
That means when I learn how to be grateful to people in my life, I'm actually making my marriage great. When I'm grateful to my parents, I'm making my marriage great. When I'm grateful to the guy who pays me every week, I work for him. When I'm grateful, I'm making my marriage great. Every situation in life where Hakarat HaTov is relevant, the more you strengthen your appreciation for Hashem, for the people in your life, for anyone who helps you, the more you strengthen that, the more you're strengthening your home. When does a person feel secure? When they're appreciated. And appreciation is a midah, it's a characteristic that applies through and through. So every type of situation that you can improve your appreciation is making it all better. You can't just localize it. Say, okay, I'm going to work on appreciating my wife. I can. No. It doesn't work like that. You got to work on appreciating every person that needs appreciation. It's all together. It can't be localized. Tremendous. This is a tremendous feast of chokhmah in life. That Hakarat HaTov is through and through. And when we improve in one, we improve in all. And when we're lacking in one, we're lacking in all. Just a matter of time. If you see the Nolad, if you see ahead, you understand the ill effects of a person who's lacking Hakarat HaTov. So valuable, so powerful. That every relationship that we have, the far and the near, the many things that people do for us, or the small things, the little things, small amount of things, should all be in the same. Someone helps you, carries your bags for you, someone is a waiter serving you. All areas of life, it's one size. Work it in all relationships. And you'll see the Nolad is something very beautiful coming up. Have a wonderful day.